It's a light unto our pathway. Holy Spirit, have your way in the remainder of this service. Have your way. We thank you that the Word of God will have free course. We thank you that lives will be touched, changed, transformed by the miracle working power of God. We thank you, O God, for you having your way. We thank you, O God, for signs and wonders and miracles. We thank you, O God, that you're a good, good God. You're a good, good Father. We love you, Lord. Just tell him right now how much you love him. Tell him right now how much you love him and appreciate him. God, we love you today. On a Sunday, we gather to worship you, to love you, to magnify you, to tell you that you are good. We're so thankful, Father. Thank you for writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Everyone that agrees, say amen and amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. When Pastor called me this morning, I had a message from the Lord, and I'm going to shorten it because of time. And we'll get out of here before Dan preaches tonight at 6:30. But I want to share with you three decisions that will change your life. Three decisions that will change your life. I'm so thankful for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that when we come to him, he pronounces us righteous, saved, not guilty anymore. I have wiped away your sins. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. Glory be to God. We're announced not guilty. In layman's terms, just as though we had never, ever sinned. Hallelujah. And it all happens by the grace of God through faith. Right standing with God comes solely through putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that is needed to get right with God is faith in what Jesus Christ has already done for us. Andrew Womack says it this way. I've been at Andrew Womack's for the last week. So Andrew Womack says it this way: Jesus plus nothing equals everything, and Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, the gospel. We'll read a few of the first verses and then pick it up a little later on. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant. Wow, notice the first thing he says about himself, a servant. Serving is not starting
at the bottom. Serving is the top. Serving in the body of Christ is the top. Jesus is our example, and he came not to do his will, but the will of the Father who sent him. Serving is the top. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. I guess I'll keep reading. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The word gospel means good news. Paul was saying that the good news of Jesus Christ is the power of God that releases all the effects of salvation in our lives. The gospel is the very power, or the dunamis. It's the same word you see in Acts 1:8, power. It's the gospel of Christ is the power of God. That dunamis word, and dunamis, pronounced both ways, and means to a force. It means miraculous power. It means abundance. Hallelujah. It means worker of miracles. Hallelujah. It means power, strength, virtue, ability. It means an inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You have a new nature. It's not that old nature. We don't have a sin nature warring with our righteous nature. I'm telling you, you're the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you're a brand new person, and you have that dunamis, that dynamis, that very power of God abiding and residing in your spirit. You've got it right now. It's yours. It's living inside of you, the very power of God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. It's the power of God. Now, let me talk to you about grace for a moment. 24 times the word grace is used in Paul's epistles to the Romans. Or the term grace, I should say. The Greek word for grace is charis. We have Charis Bible College here. Charis is translated many different ways throughout the New Testament. Favor, gift, benefit, acceptance, joy, liberality, worthy. But the most common way charis is translated is grace. Grace, some people have said, contains the idea of kindness, which bestows upon one what he has not deserved. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. God's kindness bestowed upon us what we didn't even deserve. Some have said it's God's willingness to give us his best, even though we don't deserve it. It's the kindness by which God bestows favors, even upon the ill-deserving. John 1:17 says it this way, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I love what I have read one time about the law, the difference between the law and grace. Now, the law is still good, ladies and gentlemen. In the New Testament, the law is still good, but we don't use it the same way it was intended to be used in the Old Testament. But the law is still there. But one person said, the law blesses the good, but grace saves the bad. The law blesses the good, but grace saves the bad. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Amen? The law demands blessings to be earned, but by grace, the blessings are a free gift. Hallelujah. The grace of Almighty God. Now let's look at salvation for a moment. Salvation is that great inclusive word that means to save, to deliver, to recover, to protect, to heal, hallelujah, to preserve, to make whole. Not just be healed, but to live in divine health. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Salvation means that we're saved from the penalty and guilt of sin. Hallelujah. But salvation also means that we're being saved from the habit and dominion of sin. I'm telling you, you can live above sin. The believer is also to be saved in the sense of entire conformity to Christ. 1 John 3:2, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And salvation is by grace through faith. It is a free gift and holy without works. You know how our pastor says it this way? It's the bird with two wings, grace and faith. For in Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. Pastor taught on this the other day. God even gives us the measure of faith to be saved with. That's for by grace are we saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. That's why Paul was so eager to preach the gospel in Rome. But not everyone in Rome saw the benefits of what Paul was saying. They said, how could Jesus save us? They stumbled. The Jews stumbled over it. The powerful ridiculed it. How could a crucified Christ bring deliverance? The Jews demanded miraculous signs. They said, come down from that cross and we'll believe. The Greeks looked for wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. The people at Rome asked, how can a carpenter who was condemned as a criminal save anyone? If he could not save himself, how could he save me? The unbeliever scoffed at the gospel. That sound familiar in today's society? Nevertheless, Paul said the gospel was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He was telling them it was the power of God, and if anybody understood power, it was the Romans. They told people how to live. They determined the fate of people in their hands. They had the most powerful army in the world at the time. They knew power. They knew what power was. They determined the fate of multitudes. Hallelujah. But Paul wasn't coming teaching or preaching about a military power. Paul came describing a different kind of power. He came describing a power that sets people free from the bondage of sin. Hallelujah. Sets people free from spiritual death. Hallelujah. We no longer have spiritual death residing in us. We have spiritual life residing in us. Hallelujah. He was describing the power of God. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The educated, the uneducated, the rich, the poor, this nationality, that nationality, the Greek, the Jew, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With that foundation, let me give you three decisions that Paul made that changed his life and I believe will change your life also. Number one, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 14. "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." Paul said, "I am a debtor." That word debtor means one that owes, one that's obligated, one that has a debt. Paul was making this statement in a spiritual sense. He was expressing his sense of obligation to share or preach the gospel with everyone he came into contact with. He was a debtor. He needed to pay back. He needed to give. He was expressing, "I need to preach the gospel of Christ to everyone." That's what we're doing this week in our outreach at Tuesday and Thursday. That's what we're doing on Super Soul Winning Saturday. We are going out to a lost and hurting and dying world, and we are sharing, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was being a debtor was one of Paul's attitudes that motivated him to travel all over the world. I know we've all read his resume in 1 Corinthians 11, I believe, that scripture that talks about how he was in the deep so many times, how he was beaten with rods, how he was stoned, how he was left for dead. All those things, he was a debtor. He wasn't going to let that stop him. He was going to go out and tell the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone so some could believe. Likewise, today, those who seek to be used of God need to recognize that their duty is to share Christ with a dying world, that their duty to share Christ with a dying world is not optional. Ladies and gentlemen, when we go out in our soul-winning outreach, typically it's a search and rescue mission. Typically it's a search and rescue mission. It's like walking by a burning building and a person's on the 5th, 6th, or 7th floor and they're leaning out the window screaming, saying, "God, help. Help me, somebody help me, somebody get a ladder and put it up here and save me and let me come down." Well, when you respond to that person and you get the ladder and you get that person down to the ground, you don't sit there and talk to him about this or that or his opinion on this or that or what. You go to the next person in the next window that's screaming, "Hey, help me, please help me, I'm dying, help me, I've got to get out of this smoke." And you put the ladder up there and you get that person down. It's a search and rescue mission. And that's what we do when we go out in this soul winning outreach. It's a search and rescue. They're there. Their hearts are open. All they need is for someone to come and share the glorious news that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, and Jesus sets the captives free. Somebody ought to give God praise for that. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ is to be preached to everyone, to all. All have sinned. Whosoever shall call. For God so loved the world. Christ died for the whole world. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." So, Paul was a debtor. And so are we. Say this. Say, I am a debtor. Say it again. I am a debtor. Number two, verse 15. So much, Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. Paul not only was a debtor, but Paul was ready. I said he was not only a debtor, but he was ready. He was eager. He was set to go. He was willing. He was saying, let me at him. I've got the good news. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there ain't no fake news in this book. This book is the real book. This is what people are looking for. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was ready. Paul said, as much as in me is, I am ready. See, he's saying, it's what's in here. It's what's in your heart. It's what's in the book. That's why the Word of God is so important. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. You can only give out what you know, ladies and gentlemen. That's why the Word is so vital, so important. Listen to how Peter said it in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer for every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always. And then Paul said it another way to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Preach your thought. No, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Be instant. Be ready. That's what he's saying. I'm ready to be ready to preach, to proclaim the good news. That means that Christ's gospel is to be proclaimed when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. When it seems like it's a good opportunity and when it doesn't seem like a good opportunity. When you walk up to somebody and you think, that person's never going to receive what I have for them. And when you don't, when you believe, whether you believe or whether you don't believe that they're going to receive it. I'm telling you some of the major miracles, and I think you could say the same thing. I think some of the major miracles that I've seen out on the streets sharing the gospel is when I went up to somebody and I thought, my goodness, they're twice my size. They're rough. They look rough. There is no way this guy is going to grab me and break my neck. And you go up to them and you just say, do you know God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? And tears start flowing and you go, man, I am in the will of God right here. I mean, it's amazing. The gospel is to be preached to everybody. We need to be ready to preach, ladies and gentlemen. And it's so easy. When you come out either Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday morning, you will be trained. You will be raised up. It's so easy. I mean, all you got to do is read it. Literally, when we first started, sometimes I didn't even look up. I just read that gospel soul-winning script. They would be looking at me, and I'd just read it. And I'd look up. There were tears. They prayed the prayer. Their life was radically changed in the name of Jesus. It's God's word that has the power to change lives. It's not our thoughts or feelings. That's why that gospel soul-winning script is so important, because it's the word of God. Never refrain from sharing God's word because you don't feel like someone's going to respond. Share the word. God's word is like a seed. Mark 4:14. There cannot be any harvest until the seed is sown. Some plant, some water, and God gives the increase. We should faithfully sow the seed and then give others the chance to accept or reject God's word on their own. You know, that's what Pastor says, remember? Because people have asked him about that. And he says, well, one thing is for sure. There's however many hundreds of thousands of people, or 100,000 and something people, that on that final day when they stand before God cannot say, never had a witness, nobody ever told me. It's important to sow the seed. I remember, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Man, I remember when I was at my lowest, I'd watched Jimmy Swaggart on TV before I was born again. He was the only really full gospel preacher I knew about. I had heard of Oral Roberts because at TCU we played him in baseball, I believe, and basketball. Remember that? Yeah, but other than that, I didn't know any, and Billy Graham. But I'd watch that, and that hard preaching man was chipping away at my heart. I didn't know it. I'd cuss him, but I mean, it was chipping away. It was chipping away. I mean, the gospel will chip away. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it looks like with your family members. It doesn't matter what it looks like with your relatives or with your friends. You keep praying for them. You keep praying for them. You keep speaking the word of God. I'm telling you, God is working. You might not see it on the outside, but it's working on the inside. And eventually it will manifest on the outside. Their lives will be eternally changed because of your prayers and your words. God gives the increase. When Paul said, I am ready to preach, he was talking, in their day, they had criers, town criers. Criers had two distinct characteristics. Number one, they didn't proclaim their own message. They proclaimed the message of the person that sent them. And how many know we're all ambassadors for Christ? They proclaimed his message, not what they felt. And number two, they had to be bold and grab the attention of those to whom they were sent. They didn't just tell the message to a few people. They went out to where the people were and they said, God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Hallelujah. We are all ambassadors for Christ, ladies and gentlemen. It's our responsibility to take the gospel and deliver it to people. We've got it. We've got the good news. Everything that everybody is looking for outside those four walls, we have the answer. We've got the answer to drugs. We've got the answer to alcohol. We've got the answer to the hurt heart, to the brokenhearted. We've got the answer to eternal death. It's eternal life. We've got the answer to every issue of life. It's in the Word. It's in the gospel. That's what we've got. So Paul said, I'm a debtor, and he said, I am ready. Say, I am ready. Say it out loud, I am ready. And number three, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. He was a debtor, he was ready, and he was not ashamed. He was a debtor, he was ready, and he was not ashamed. Paul was not ashamed because he knew he had the message. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to be ashamed because we have the message. We have the message that everyone is looking for outside those four walls. They may not say it. You may not know why. You may not know how. They might not admit it at first, but we've got the message. We have the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The gospel, the good news. But you know it's really more than good news. It's the nearly too good to be true news. You ever heard the guy that says, well, if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't true? Well, I want you to know it is really nearly too good to be true, and it is true. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true in your life and in my life. When Jesus took all of our sin and paid the debt we owed and then gave us new life, ladies and gentlemen, that's nearly too good to be true. I already said it. We gave him our junk and he gave us his abundance, his blessing. All that belongs to Jesus belongs to God, to us. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What is Jesus is ours in Jesus' name. The gospel is the power of God that releases the effects of salvation in our lives. Every benefit of the gospel. If a person needs healing, it's in the gospel. If a person needs deliverance, it's in the gospel. If a person needs prosperity, it's in the gospel. If a person needs prayer answered, it's in the gospel. If a person needs joy, it's in the gospel. You can go on and on and on. It's all found in the gospel. Hallelujah. The gospel is the good news. It's only in the grace of God that there is any good news. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Say, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Say, I'm not ashamed. I'm a debtor. I am ready. And I'm not ashamed. Say it again. I'm a debtor. I am ready. And I am not ashamed. Hallelujah. 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 Paul was not ashamed. David was not ashamed. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands and worship Him. Father, we worship You today. We worship You, Father. We're debtors. We are ready to preach the gospel, and we are not ashamed, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Lord, we give You honor, glory, and praise on this Sunday morning. We give You glory, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you what, let's just move out of our seats and come and let's gather for one final prayer right now in Jesus' name. Let's come and gather for one final prayer right now, and we will dismiss you in just 2 minutes. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The gospel, the answer, the good news. Hallelujah. We thank You for the gospel. Hallelujah. We thank You for salvation. We thank You that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. We thank You for healing for the brokenhearted. Hallelujah.
God, we do thank You, Father. We thank You for the gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Lord.
Thank You, God. Hallelujah for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news, Father. We thank You, God, that You have equipped Your church, hallelujah,
yes,
to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in our hands, it's in our heart,
yes,
and it's in our mouth. Father, we thank You for it, God. We thank You for the opportunities, God, to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an honor and a privilege it is just to speak Your word, Father. And we thank You, God, that as we go on our way, God, I thank You that You give us those opportunities,
yes,
that You open up the door for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be spoken. Hallelujah. Father, we ask for the heathen for our inheritance,
yes,
and the uttermost parts of the earth for our possession, God. God, we thank You. There's a great harvest. Hallelujah. There's a great harvest waiting for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank You. You order our steps, God. You have us in the right place at the right time. God, I thank You, God, for opening our eyes to see, our ears to hear Your voice, God. And when we speak, we will speak.
Yes.
Just like Jesus said, I only speak what I hear My Father speak. I only say what I hear Him say. I only do what I see Him do. So, Father, we thank You for ordering our step. Thank You, God, for going before us and preparing the way.
Yes.
And, God, we ask for souls.
We ask for the harvest, yes,
just like Your word said.
Ask.
And we believe we receive it, Father. The harvest. Hallelujah. For it is harvest time. Glory to God. Harvest time, and we're going to be in the right place at the right time. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen. Let's believe for laborers right now to go into His harvest. Let's believe for laborers right now. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. Father, we pray right now. Send forth laborers into Your harvest, O God. Come on, lift your voice with me right now. Send forth laborers, O God, into Your harvest, we pray. This week, in Jesus' name, Tuesday at 2, Thursday at 2, and Saturday morning at 10. God, send forth laborers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, those are three decisions that Paul made. He decided, I'm a debtor, but I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed. Those three decisions are life-changing. More importantly, they'll be life-changing for somebody else. I want to encourage you, come out with us this week, Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. daily, and especially Saturday morning for Super Soul Winning Saturday at 10 a.m. It's going to be an awesome week. We'll be right back here.